Hi, I'm Tammy Greenberg, Senior Vice President, Business Development at the RAB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Our latest series comes to you from the 2024 ANA Masters of Marketing Conference in Orlando, Florida, where we consumed 4 full days of content from marketing and brand stewards from leading brands. The conference theme was setting the agenda for growth, and we heard a lot about creating unparalleled consumer engagement with help from advanced technology like AI. We heard a lot about creativity, and we heard a laser focus on what matters most to consumers and never, ever losing sight of humanity as tech continues to expand. RAB had the opportunity to chat with many attendees and speakers about their business, and in this episode, we talk tourism. Tourism is a perfect fit for radio. It's local, in many cases, it's drivable, and it's a community business at its core. David Blair, Chief Marketing Officer, and Sean Phipps, Director of Marketing for Chattanooga Tourism, sat down with Mike Holvey, RAB's President and CEO, to chat about their goals, their go-to-market strategies, and of course, their thoughts about radio.
Radio on Main Street continues in the main hallway at the 2024 ANA, and we have a couple of new friends, including fans of Madison Wright, our behind-the-scenes executive on-site producer for our podcast series. And with us, we have Sean and David, who represent Chattanooga Tourism. And David, up, you're at the far end of the table. A little bit of background, and introduce yourself to our audience today.
Yeah, absolutely. My name is David Blair. I am CMO with Chattanooga Tourism. I've been in the industry for just a little over a year and a half. I come from outside of the industry. Prior to that, I was in sort of product dev and marketing within the tech industry, like tech startup, and before that in CPG, you know, big corporate brands before that, and entrepreneur before that. So that's a little bit about me.
Well, welcome, Sean.
Yeah, I'm Sean. I'm the marketing director. David is my boss, so I'm going to try to
be nice
and not say anything uncouth. I started out as a journalist. I was a journalist for a decade and then kind of made the switch into tourism marketing 5 years ago. And now I'm here at ANA learning about all of the other things that I didn't learn when I was in tourism marketing.
Is this your first time at ANA?
This is my first Masters of Marketing,
okay.
But I did attend an ANA digital and social media conference earlier this year and a one-day session, and so I'm totally sold on ANA. It's awesome.
As this is somewhat of the Super Bowl of, you know, marketing events, Dave, what about you?
Yeah, I have been a member of ANA with a previous organization. This is my first time back, maybe since pre-pandemic. So it's always been a pretty fundamental part of what I've done in marketing before.
Well, I'm interested because, you know, in your space, the pandemic was not your friend, you know, traditionally. How has things evolved since then, and where are they at today?
Great question. Again, I was outside of the industry, so this is something Sean was doing, so he can actually answer to experiencing through that.
I was in the industry for, I would say, maybe 2 months, hired in, and then the pandemic hit. And it was really interesting because you suddenly couldn't do what you were supposed to be doing, right? You were paid to do. And so we kind of pivoted and started focusing on the local community a lot. And I think that really kind of did a lot for us in terms of our advocacy and building up kind of our relationship with the partners that we serve, you know, the attractions and the hotels and the restaurants. And we brought everybody together, and that was our role for a long time. And I will say that Chattanooga, Tennessee, kind of geographically, we are 2.5 hours from Atlanta, from Nashville, from Knoxville, Birmingham, Huntsville, all these great places. And so during the pandemic, we had the benefit of being affordable, but also a really real kind of breath of fresh air for those people who are in those big cities,
right,
and needed to get away. And so we were fortunate in that sense.
I have a family that operates wedding venues in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. And watching them go through the pandemic, was very interesting. Of course, from that perspective, you're outdoors, which was a real plus. You're in the mountains. Does this sound familiar, guys? You know, was a real plus. But it was impactful, and things have changed since then. Some things have stuck, and some things have changed. Have you found that with Chattanooga?
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the wedding venues. That's something that has kind of come up on our radar lately just because of how we're positioned for that. And that's something that's been creeping up and growing for us. I know, like what you said about Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg, and that area is true. You know, Nashville is known for sort of the bachelorette parties, yeah, and all of that. But, you know, Chattanooga's been sort of growing in that, the wedding venue scene as well.
But not like, you know, Broadway in Nashville. Yeah, definitely. We're more destination weddings, large groups. And then because we live in the mountains and we have so much outside of Chattanooga, Chattanooga becomes the hub, right? So we benefit from, you know, those 300 people that are going to that barn wedding, you know, 45 minutes outside the city. They can come back and stay in Chattanooga, and they often do in our hotels.
Yeah, it's so scenic.
Yeah.
So from your perspective of managing the story about Chattanooga, Tennessee, where's your audience lie? Outside of Chattanooga? Inside Chattanooga? Where does it lie, and what is your approach to having those conversations?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, for us, our primary goal as a destination management organization for this, you know, for Chattanooga, is to drive visitation. So we're looking for people from outside, you know, maybe 70-mile radius, say, to come and drive them to come and, you know, explore, experience the city. Our biggest markets are going to be our drive markets. This is for leisure. Mm-hmm. And that'll be Atlanta, like Sean was saying, Nashville, Knoxville, we've got Huntsville, Birmingham, we've got a lot of cities within that range. So that's our primary. And then, you know, the other would be places where we have maybe direct flights to our airport, so that can spread out a little bit further. Leisure, that's the lion's share. We also have like meetings and conventions, like the one we're at, you know, we drive those. And then it's going to be like sports and events. Yeah.
And then you asked about kind of the audiences too, kind of specifically. Yes. We're looking at a lot of family travel to Chattanooga. Chattanooga is very easy if you have a family, and we've talked about that before. You know, New York has family-friendly things to do, but it ain't easy, right? In Chattanooga, it can be easy to bring your family. But we also have outdoor adventures for any kind of...
We're like a gateway to the outdoors, so it's like, you know, we're right at the foothills of, you know, very mountainous things. We're close to the Cumberland Trail, and we've got so many different, you know, things to do, from the river, like kayaking and rafting.
If you want to paraglide naked off of the side of the mountain, you can do that.
You can do that there.
But, or you could also sit in a rocking chair and chew a piece of hay. I mean, it runs that gamut, right? It's wherever your walk of life is in terms of nature, we have access to it.
When you look at how you tell that story, we're the RAB. We believe in audio. We believe in podcast and broadcast radio and connecting to audiences that way. What are some of the strategies that you deploy? And let's talk about your view of audio.
I'm an old public radio guy. I started in public radio, so audio has always been one of the most important ways to tell a story. It's evocative. You can tell a full story, and you can tell multiple sides of the story with voices. And I think voices are so important, and especially in our area, we rely so much on the word of mouth and people telling other people about Chattanooga. And we've heard that even here at the conference. Oh, I love Chattanooga. I've been to Chattanooga. Oh, yeah. We grew up in Oak Ridge. You hear that all the time. And so that the way you tell that story on through audio can be really impactful. And the other aspect of that is that Chattanooga has such a rich history that the stories are there to tell. And we try to tell them as much as we can.
Yeah, I think there's something really special too, as I'm thinking about the format of audio, is if we think about like the types of learners people are, whether it's visual, mm-hmm. you know, tactile, listening, you know, there's something in the storytelling, the listening is like, it's almost by default, you have a deeper level of engagement when you're listening, right? It's not these times with second screening and all of that stuff, you get fragments of people's attention, but there's something about, you know, radio and especially longer form stuff that you get in podcasts and stuff that is, you've already got someone by default that's engaging a different way.
Yeah, and we've been talking about, you know, I think the statistic was like 73% of the people who visit Chattanooga and stay overnight drive there in their own car. And what do you do while you're in the car? You listen.
Exactly.
And so finding a way for us to say, hey, here's a little bit more about Chattanooga while they're in the environment, the car, driving to or from Chattanooga, I mean, that's important.
There's a lot of conversation here at ANA this week about AI, but at the same time, there's a lot of conversation about human and the human interaction. AI has a place, but don't forget about the human. Have you picked up on some of those same themes?
Look, I'm pretty early adopter technology-wise. I was on the AI stuff early on, learning about prompting and all of those things, bringing it to the team. It's me coming into it is one of the things I brought in early. But, you know, I liked what like during the P&G speech in there, where it was like kind of getting to fundamentals about complexity, right? It's like, they're just tools. AI is a tool, and you have to look at it like that. And I think too many people jump in and they had some expectation like it's going to just do stuff for you. But I think you have to put in the big part of the effort yourself with it. That's a human element. And I sort of see it like this. It's like an amplification of what you have already. So, you know, almost like a superpower, right? You can kind of put on this helmet and it takes your reach and your competencies and it adds that. So I think the human element's like critical, because if you don't have it, there's nothing to amplify. Yeah. You know, that's my view.
I mean, I think it makes me a better marketer, but maybe only in the sense that it saves me time. I still have to look at what the output is and digest it, and through, I'm doing air quotes here, my expertise, I have to like look at it and make sure that it's at least something I feel comfortable putting my name on. And often, you know, I think people dealing with these technologies, they do the bare minimum. They don't do what they need to do to really dig into prompting.
So the results all start to sound AI. They look AI to the, you know, some people we partner with to give us creative content. We're like, you did this with AI. You can, once you're in it enough, you can see the result. And it's like, you didn't do your due diligence with prompting. It's almost an art of its own, right? You have to invest in.
And your due diligence can be as simply as just a couple rounds of edits or one edit to add that human element to it.
I heard a podcast in the last month with a former CMO of Pepsi. And she was relaying a story that they had an RFP out, and four proposals came back for a marketing plan, and four proposals came back almost identical.
That would be impossible.
And where does that come from? It gets right back to your point, David, and that is, it's a tool, but the human, the creative, you know, that's a fail, right?
Well, I think what's happening in that component, like think about like the agency world, how crazy, how much stuff's coming at them. They're always trying to balance, you know, from their business model, resources versus new business and all of that. And if that's out of balance, and people start doing what they have to do to get the job done, and they may use AI as a crutch as opposed to a tool, right? And then you end up in that situation, and it looks bad, you know, if you know what you're looking at. You know?
And we're still in the sense where, you know, a lot of people will see and something generated by AI and not know, and that's okay. And then so they're almost given permission, the creator of that, given permission to like continue doing that. But if it only takes one person to know for it to kind of unravel a little bit.
For some inside baseball from inside the conference center, what is something that you've heard that really caught your attention? I'll ask each of you that question, and then we'll get ready for our dismount questions, which you guys got an early peek at, which none of our other guests have gotten that.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you should expect any more insight from, because we got that. I will say, so I really love ANA just for the networking. David and I've been going around hitting different members, vendors, trying to talk to as many people. I go back to, you know, one of the sessions I saw this morning. I'm hearing it a lot is the idea of don't think about your audience as consumers, think about them as fans. Mm. And so I'm starting to think, well, what does a fan of Chattanooga look like? Yes, it's somebody who visits, right? It's someone who's visited and maybe wants to come back. They had a positive experience. But maybe our biggest fans are our residents, the people who live there. So how do you tap into those people who literally have the pride in place that would champion for your message? And so I think there's like a couple things we need to think about there. But I love the idea of someone being a fan, because I'm a fan of things, and I know for certain there are fans of our city and people who would promote it.
Yeah, mine's around, my kind of aha was around the same thing, the Netflix presentation where they were talking about fandom, and there was a comment that was like, you know, how we want people, you know, think of Netflix as a company, like how do they want their fans to experience something versus how they actually experience. And it made me think of, like, you know, my teenage son who, like, second screen, I'm like, hey, let's watch this movie together. And he doesn't have the framing to enjoy it in the same way I do. And it's really frustrating. It's like irritating. But it's like, don't we all do that even in marketing or how we present, for example, our destination and what we think of as how someone plans their itinerary, what they want out of the experience. And we want to always, like, push them into our box, and it's like, this is how you need to experience it, right? As opposed to thinking it from that customer-centric view, how do they default? What is the way that they like to experience it? And it's a pretty, you know, nuanced thing, but if you can kind of keep it in mind, you know, and I think there's that tension, right, between traditional ways of thinking about media and then all the things that have evolved. You know, they were talking about everything being more customized, more personalized. It speaks to, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fascinating time to be marketing anything.
Absolutely.
And it's a lot of fun, I think. And
there's so many. I use the analogy in our industry, in the radio audio industry, is that in the old days, if you will, we were an appliance. We sat on a shelf. It was true broadcasting in its greatest form. I mean, and you go back in time and what role we, as I speak of our industry, played. And then we move forward in time, technology, we're in the car. That's an amazing, you know, advancement to today. And where some folks may look and say, you know, you're old, and you know, it is it relevant anymore? And I would challenge those individuals to think that our industry is now an 8-lane superhighway, because radio broadcasters have embraced the technology that now allows us to touch so many people in so many different ways beyond just what was a box that sat on a shelf. And now we are fully engaged in all of these different verticals, if you will, that we're touching consumers, and we're putting consumers together with business, you know, the whole thing. So it's the 8-lane superhighway approach. That's the way my simple mind looks at what's happened to the radio broadcast industry over time.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't think that's simple. I think that's it. It's fragmentation. Like, you know, over time, you know, how media has continually fragmented, and it gets, you know, spread out across more variety of channels than ever before. And, you know, it makes it really challenging, but also interesting on how do you, you know, grab chunks of that.
Okay, I'm going to ask my two questions at the end. We're going to start with Sean, since David's the boss. And then you get to end this podcast with a pitch for why our viewers should consider visiting Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, look at that.
Is that fair?
I think that's a fair.
All right, Sean, so you get the first one.
Okay.
Radio matters because?
Because we are human. And we are fortunate to be the only species that has kind of invented a way to talk to each other in a way with a language that we have created. And it's been that way for a long time. And I you know, that's probably a very weird answer, but I go back to, like, it's kind of It matters because we're human, and that's the way we connect with each other.
Yeah, I'm not going to score that answer, but I think it leads into me answering this.
It was so good in my head. I was thinking of like...
Let me help you though. Let me just explain.
Like the evolution of
our species. It is human. So I think it's kind of a continuation of what I was saying earlier. Like, how do we receive information? You know, like... Humans communicate through language, and you can do that through written word and spoken word and visually, right? Maybe touch, but that's a little more invasive. But radio is important because it's that spoken word, it's that transference of that. It's the most expanded way you can do that.
And we crave human connection, and it is. I know when I was behind the mic, you know, early in my public radio days, just giving the weather to a public radio audience at 5 a.m, people would call and say, I just want to talk to you.
You were giving the weather to a radio audience.
Yes.
So, and it mattered. It mattered. Okay.
It mattered, yeah.
David gets the last one. Radio works because.
Radio works because. Good question. I think it has to do with what I was saying earlier, is the attention of someone when they're listening to radio. I think you get the benefit of engagement being necessary, right? So when someone is at the level of listening, they're engaged. And I think there's some people that have podcasts going while they're working, while they're doing other things. But there's something transference even on subconscious level that's happening when people do that. That's why they're doing it, and they're multitasking or doing those things. So I think it works because it reaches people at a more meaningful, deeper place.
Good answers. I like the fact that your boss said, I won't grade your answer.
Well, I wasn't going to grade that one.
No, he got that one right. Yeah. That's an A. Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Why should we come to Chattanooga, Tennessee?
Look, Chattanooga, Tennessee is beautiful. It's an opportunity to get away from kind of the screech and the hustle of daily life. You can be on a mountain hiking and feel like you're in the middle of nowhere, and then be downtown at a 4-star restaurant in 10 minutes' time. You get all of the great things about a city. I think the one thing that I will say is you should come for the people. I think that we have a very special people in Chattanooga that are welcoming. They treat you like one of them, and you definitely feel that Chattanooga has this kind of ethereal quality, that something's different about the city, and it's special, and that's all. That's what I could say.
Yeah, it's like you're... That's well said. So you've redeemed the answer on that one. So it's like you're coming home. You know, when you come back, when you come to Chattanooga, the hospitality, the people, the community, you know, it's a fantastic balance of a variety of things between, you know, outdoors and entertainment. It punches above its weight, way above its weight, and what it delivers, you know. It's fantastic.
And, you know, Paleolithic man. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to talk
David
about evolution
and Sean get the
anymore.
Final word, and we thank both of you for sharing a few minutes with us today from the ANA.
Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Storytelling is core to bringing the Chattanooga destination to life for consumers. And I don't know about you, but after hearing their story, I'm ready to pack up the car and head to Chattanooga for a long weekend in the mountains. With their primary goal of driving visitation among consumers in drivable or direct flight markets, radio is a natural fit. And as you just heard David and Sean agree, that as the media landscape continues to fragment and becomes more complex, radio matters because we are all human, and that's the way we connect to one another.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.